wanted to start off with a thought that the world has, as there are seven stages of grief that psychologists come out with. And just to think about these, the first stage of that grief or getting out of grief is shock and denial. Sometimes when something tragic happens or someone passes, we have sort of are shocked with that, and we try to deny it. We're just thrown back, and we can't even cope with it at that point. And they say then the next stage is pain and guilt over the situation, whether it was caused by you or whether it just came upon you. And so they move from there to anger and sometimes bargaining. Well, Lord, if you just to do this, then I'll never do that again. And we're angry with some people get angry with God and to ask God, why would he ever do such a thing? Or they try to bargain with God or some to get out of this grief. And then the world has it that you enter into depression or reflection and to loneliness. And the thought of depression now is what I want to think about. But that is, they actually, when you come to a place of depression, they feel like then you're on your way to the upward turn. The next turn is the upward turn when you begin to adjust to that living with that grief in your life. And of course, they have reconstruction and working through it, different psychological methods and things that they present to work through this these stages of grief. And then finally, acceptance, and then acceptance going on to overcome that grief in the same way. So the world leaves, in the final stage, the world leaves you in your dealing with grief with acceptance. And I just would like to review in my mind what Jesus Christ leaves us with. What does Christ give us in the times of tragedy? And how do we deal with it as Christian? Because if I think of these seven stages of grief, and a person is dealing with grief without the Lord Jesus Christ, it's an enigma to me how anybody can get through anything without Jesus Christ. And it's an enigma to me how many Christians think that they can get through anything by themselves without Jesus Christ. Maybe they're not saying, okay, God, I'll take it from here, but they're acting that way, or I'm going to try some other means by with which I can attain a peace maybe in this situation. I think you're lost without Christ. I know you're lost without Christ. And so I'd like to think about this under the umbrella of Jesus Christ. And just looking at it again, trying to get a proper definition of this, what might trigger a state of depression? What might bring a person into depression? Well, we stated that already. The first part is grief or loss. Something happens in your life, and you're grieving, and you're feeling a great loss, and that's all you can think about. And that's not that's a sin. That's just a fact of what it is, and that may be what brings on this state of depression. Stressful life events. People have a multitude of things that have brought stress into their life, and then that it triggers or sets in motion that downward spiral toward depression. Physical health problems. Many people here are going through physical health problems. They may come into a place of depression, despondency, a place where they just don't know what to do, and they just feel at wit's end. People that are on drugs. Some people... drugs, either opioids, prescription drugs, or illegal drugs. Drugs can bring you into a place where, you know, you've seen many people that have taken their own life because they've been so hooked on drugs and things that have brought them into that state. But there's other thoughts about this, that some people can have depression because of genetics or biology. Maybe it's women seem to have different mood swings at their menstrual cycle or their a childbirth or menopause or postpartum aspects of reproduction, and that can bring them into a state where they become depressed. Some, you ever heard of a thing called sad? Yeah, I guess they did. You heard about SAD. It's a seasonal affective disorder, like when the seasons change. So right now is the perfect time for people to become sad, because it's starting to get darker earlier, and some people don't function well in dark. Michael, could you get this light? I'm going to have a seizure if it keeps on going like that. No, in the back, the other one. So this SAD, when it gets to that place where the seasons start to change, some people get sad because it's dark out and they're not able to go out and do things. Or other things, even I read some of the same symptoms that seem to be those that lead to depression are the same things that happen if you have a lack of vitamin D in your diet. And so people can get depressed through a lack of the proper vitamins and also poor nutrition. What else can do it? Lack of exercise can bring you into a state of depression. Lack of sleep can bring people into a state of depression. Facebook overload. I have seen people that are on their phones not in this church though. They spend hours looking at what other people think about if they got a thumbs up or not. How many people like stuff on Facebook? How many will choose to admit that they have Facebook out there? I don't. Ha ha. I'm holier than thou. No, not. But sometimes you can get all messed up by what people think or didn't say on your Facebook. It throws you into a state of depression. Some people with health conditions, I said, they may have cancer, stroke, or heart disease, thyroid conditions. So many things that could bring them into depression. Chronic pain. There's people in this church with that are dealing with chronic pain in their joints and in their lives. And abuse could bring you into a state of depression, physical, mental, sexual abuse. And as I think about these things, it's just a myriad of things. What maybe something that might make you depressed wouldn't make another person depressed. They just would go off them like water off a duck's back. But for some people, when they take certain things to heart, they begin to go on that downward spiral towards depression. I was thinking about this, and I thought, well, who in the Bible would have cause for depression? Who could we look at and say, well, they certainly would have a just cause to be depressed, and obviously we can turn immediately to the book of Job and think about if anybody had a cause for depression, he did. You know, he lost his entire family, a house fell in, and his children and his wife that remained alive was miserable to him the whole time. He was going through a difficult time. He lost all the wealth that he ever had, and he developed sores and scales on his body, and his friends came and gave him a bad counsel and lousy advice and accused him. If anybody had a chance to be depressed and miserable, it was Job. And Job began to complain about that. And he told God, you know, why is it that you've done this? And he said things like, I loathe my own life, he said in Job 10. And would that I had died in the womb and no eye had seen me. My spirit is broken. The grave is ready for me. My eye has also gone dim because of grief. And so Job begins to moan to God. And it's a misplaced accusation when we accuse God of our misery. It's misplaced. You can place it on the devil or your own self or the world, but to place it and blame God for your depression or your misery is the wrong place to put it. And so God answered Job and he said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it, he said to Job. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. If you ever want to complain that God has got you in this situation, put your hand on your mouth. Job goes on in Job 42, finally realizing that he was misplacing the blame. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ear, but now my eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. Job had a reason to be discontent, but not discontent with God. It was God who was bringing him through. Amen? Who else might have had opportunity to be depressed? Well, Jesus Christ. A man of sorrows, acquainted with griefs, rejected by his own people, rejected by those that walked with him, rejected by his disciples. If any man had opportunity to be depressed, it could have been Jesus. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, when it seemed that everything had shed from him, he said, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death." And he said to the three, "Remain here and keep watch." And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass by him. And he was saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not as I will, but what thou will." The Bible said that his stress and his grief and his pain were so great that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. Imagine that pressure on you. But you know, in all that, Jesus trusted his Father, and God brought him through, and Jesus finished it. And not only did he finish it, but he was rewarded by rising again, saving the entire world's population, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord. There is reward for trusting God and not blaming God. Who else could be depressed? Well, I looked at Paul, and I thought about all that he had been through. And in the course of one of the songs that Michael sang, "We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Hallelujah! I can rejoice in that God. I can do all things through Christ, who strengtheneth me. That's how I can do it. In the midst of difficulties. If you've ever felt that you were in a state of depression or moving that way, I'm not here to condemn you. Because sometimes, even when you have done all that you can think to do, the feeling still remains, especially if it's a physical thing that has brought it on. You're having to live with that. But depression, when you name it, not so much the trigger, but the result of the trigger having its full effect in you, bringing a person into a difficult time. Depression is a form of fear. Fear of the future, fear of what's going to happen now, fear of all things, fear of so many things. Has God given us that? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. God would not have us in fear, which is an aspect of depression. Depression may be a spirit, or it may open the door to a spiritual attack. When a person goes down that path and spirals down into a place of depression, it opens the door for all kinds of attacks of Satan. And the depression itself, I believe, is a spiritual entity. Because if he says God has not given us the spirit of fear, then there could be a spirit of depression that can consume you and destroy you. Depression is a result of something that may be a disappointment. Or the disappointment may lead to discouragement, and the discouragement may lead to despondency. And that downward path continues. And depression comes upon as it follows that line. So you ask yourself, am I depressed? I saw a funny show, I think it was one of those mafia shows. No Italians here, are there? So he says to the one fellow, he says, are you happy? He said, yeah, I'm happy. I mean, I'm not happy, but I'm happy. How many people are out there happy? Amen. I mean, are you happy? I mean, you may not be happy, but you're happy. Well, I sort of knew what he meant by that, that, you know, I didn't feel like skipping and jumping, but he wasn't unhappy. There was a book, I think it was one of the Full Gospel years ago. I think it was entitled The Happiest People in the World. Demas Zakarian. We should be the happiest people in the world. We don't just say that rhetorically, oh yeah, I'm happy because I love the Lord. But when you truly know that you know that you know. Think about that. But some Christians are moving towards depression. So evaluate yourself to determine if you are depressed or maybe merely sad. Seasonal affective disorder. Or some other thing. Just not as happy as you'd like to be happy. I'd like to help clarify this for you. I believe that there are levels, obviously, of depression and ways of coming down to that. What brought about the disappointment in your life? Has anybody ever been disappointed? Yes. But you don't want to harp on that disappointment. What has brought that? A tragedy? A failure on your part? Or stress? Now, one may feel deserted or feel that they can't cope with things that are going on all alone. No positive outlook for the future. Just seems to be a cycle of failure in their life. I think depression takes hold as we stare at the problem. If you keep on looking at the problems in your life, you can become depressed. If you look at all the difficulties that you have to face or have faced, if you look at the problem, you end up being depressed. But if you look at the solution, all I can find is joy in that. All I can find is joy in looking at the solution that is provided by God. So disappointment is not depression, but it is a step in that direction if you begin to meditate upon it. The Bible didn't say, whatsoever is depressing, miserable, rotten, and lousy, think on these things. How many have had stinking thinking? The Bible says, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Get your mind off the problem, put it on the solution. Don't look down, look up. For your redemption draweth nigh. Discouragement in some things you've done is not depression, but it's another step closer. Despondency, the state of being despondent, I looked that up in one place, and it was extremely low in spirits and feeling dejection. Now, that's getting into the place where it's starting to take hold of you until you reach despair, which is utter loss of hope. And that brings you in to that state of depression. It's good to identify this problem. I believe that if you first acknowledge that you are either depressed or starting on that journey, you are going in the right direction. The Bible says if you confess your faults one to another, pray for one another that you may be healed. If you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to cleanse you from your sins, to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So identify it. If you're feeling disappointment now, if you're being discouraged now, maybe you've come into a place of despondency or despair, or maybe you're out and out depressed, even as a Christian. It's not so much a sin as it is a not putting the brakes on and looking up to God to not let you go down any further. When there's a disappointment in your life, you have to address it early. Those that seek me early in a situation will find me and find deliverance. I'd say it would be good to pinpoint the cause that started this downward spiral. Sometimes, I want to clarify this, that if it is a physical thing with you, if it's a woman that's going through her monthly cycle and just has a lower feeling at that time, or a guy that's reached a middle-age crisis, to identify that. So it can be a physical thing, but nevertheless, it still works on our mind. It may be more than one thing. I mean, more than one situation. See, it could be that you're going along all happy and one thing happens to you, a disappointment, a discouragement, you keep on loading up with it and load up with this, and it's the last straw that did you in. If you ever heard, you know, the phrase, the straw that broke the camel's back, I think Richie said that this morning and made me think about it. You know what that was? They had loaded the camel up so much and he was able to carry it, and it was nothing more he could carry. They finally laid just one last straw, and the camel collapsed. It was the straw that broke the camel's back, was just too much weight. And maybe some of you have not addressed those things in your life of disappointments or discouragement or despondencies, and you keep on weighing that down. I can bear this. I can bear this. You can't bear your burden alone. Sooner or later, it's going to break your back. Unless you give it to the Lord. So what are the results of your emotional state? I mean, emotions of ongoing discouragement or self-deprecation. You constantly run those things in your mind. We're not designed to bear the weight of the world. We're not Atlas. We're designed to cast all our care upon Him. It was the law that was so heavy on our backs that led us to Jesus Christ. When we finally realized that we couldn't keep the law, we turned to someone that had kept it and would carry it for us. He carried it to the cross of Christ. There he paid for it. Now he gives us the lighter load. The Bible says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Jesus Christ is your way of escape. He and He alone. Not a crutch. Or maybe, yes, call Him a crutch. I don't care if I call Christ my crutch. But He is my support. He is my sin bearer. He is my sanctifier. He bears all my burdens that I bring to Him. So He is my means of escape. He is my strong tower. He is my anchor in the storm. I rush into Him and I'm safe. Jesus is that way of deliverance. I just love that again, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. All your care upon Him. The Bible said that we are not to be anxious for anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. There must be a definite move to cast your care upon Him. Don't carry it. Don't think that you're a tough guy, that you can carry all this on your own. Give it over to Jesus. Give it over to Christ. He'll carry it for you. The Bible does say this, though. We're to bear one another's burdens. You bear my burdens. You know where I want you to bear my burdens to? To the cross of Christ. I want you to take me to the throne of grace. That's what you need to do. So here's my solution. Not my solution, but the Bible's solution. Replace depression and all of its triggers. Replace that with Jesus Christ. You say, well, that sounds good, but how do I do that? How do I go about doing that? What do you mean you put Jesus there? It doesn't matter what brought you to this depression or even the trigger that brought you into that state of mind. Jesus still died for your sins. He still rose again. Now get that in your mind. Who says Jesus died for my sins? Who said he rose again? This is phenomenal now. Once you get this in your mind, that Christ paid for all your sins and all the corruption of all mankind, and that he rose again for your justification and for your life, that alone should be that which gives you exceeding great joy. We need to constantly apply that to our life. Remember this, that Christ said, I will never leave nor forsake you. First of all, if these are just pithy sayings that I'm giving out, then we ought to go to join some other social club. But I'm telling you the truth of Christ. He said, I'd never leave you nor forsake you. Did he mean you or just me? I think he means you too. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, Harry. Never going to leave you. I'm never going to leave you. Except when you get feeling down, then I'm going to leave you. Or when you have a disappointment in your life, then you're going to have to face that on your own because I'm very busy with other people here. I only have so much time to put in a day. Or did he say that he would be with us always? Will he be with you in disappointment? In discouragement? In despondency? In all things, in death itself? Wow. Some people don't always see their difficulties removed. We remember Paul saying that there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, that I might not be exalted above that which is of measure. But then Paul began to rejoice in the very thing that he asked God to take away from him. You may be going to go through some certain things that you're going to be facing and challenged with all your life. But don't go through them alone. Go through them with Jesus Christ. He's going to be with you. He's going to comfort you. You can cast that upon him and say, Lord Jesus, this is too much for me. I need your presence. I need the sense of your spirit moving in my life now. Don't say, why would you let this happen to me? What kind of a God are you? You don't love me. Nobody loves me. But to look up and say, God, you said you never leave nor forsake me. You said you love me, and you showed it by dying on the cross. You said you care for me. You said you supply all my need according to your riches and glory. And I thank you for that. That though I am in a strait right now, I'm going to depend on the promises of God, the truth of the word, that's going to bring me through. And I'm going to rejoice in that. When depression takes away all your hope and your motivation, and you become so lethargic that you don't even want to get up in the morning, Jesus Christ is the one that gives you purpose. He gives you purpose. He gives you a reason to get up in the morning. He gives you a reason to rejoice, knowing that Christ has gone before you, has paved the way, is coming again to receive you to himself. That brings great purpose, great joy in life, that I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. The life I now live is not my own, but I have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. If that doesn't bring joy, nothing can. Christ gives me purpose. Gives me courage to go on from day to day, moment to moment, because of what he has achieved, what he is working in me, in the midst of my difficulties.
Thank you, Lord.
Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy when you face various trials, because Christ is in it. And he's bringing you through it. He is pruning you. He is maturing you. God is love. He will not once leave you on your own. He's not a liar. Jesus gives hope not only now, but for eternity. Or not only for eternity, but for now. I came that they might have life, and that more miserably. They might have life, and that more abundantly. The abundant life is not found in possessions. It's not found in not having difficulties. It's found in having Jesus Christ with you all your life. That's the abundance. No greater gift could he give than that. You may not have denied Christ with your mouth. You may have denied him sometimes in your heart. You may have been miserable. But know that even in the midst of that, Jesus Christ restored Peter. Restored him after he denied him three times. Maybe by our actions we've denied Christ even more than that. Do you want victory over any kind of disappointment, discouragement, despondency, depression? Then I'm telling you the way out is Jesus Christ. And to acknowledge this, you've got to acknowledge that Jesus loves you. How many can say, Jesus loves me? Jesus loves me. I'm going to say, let's say it together. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones, to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I thank God for that, that he loves me.
Amen.
Acknowledge that he loves you. Acknowledge that he gave his life to save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Has anybody out there called on the name of the Lord for salvation? I have. I've said, Christ, save my sin-sick, miserable soul. And he said, I will, and I'll spread my arms on the cross and shed my blood to prove it to you. And as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Say that. I am a child of the living God. You want to dispel disappointments? Jesus Christ is greater than any disappointment you have ever faced. Greater than any discouragement. Greater than the loss of a job. Greater than your failures. For he is with you in the midst of them. He'll never leave me. I thank God that he'll never leave me. It's not only that he loved me, that he saved me, but that he'll never leave me. In life or death. And knowing this also, that he, again we say it, he is working everything in my life for his eternal purpose. All things work together for good for them that love the Lord, for them that are the called according to his purpose. Wow. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, because he provides everything for me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I love the fact that he leads me beside still waters, the waters of the word, the waters of his presence. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Boy, if that doesn't get you excited, I'm excited. He's gone to prepare a place for me, that where he is, there I may be also. Imagine that. I'm not going to say that you're not going to have tragedy. We went to a memorial service a few days ago for a couple that had lost their baby only 48 days old. Premature baby. What a sad, tragic thing to lose a child. I can't imagine anything much worse than that. But yet, the community of faith gathered around this couple, encouraged them in the things of the Lord. Their faith was elevated, and they trusted in God. And God is bringing them through this difficulty. We have a God that's faithful, not only in the good times, but in all times. In all times. I thank God for that. I've said this probably 1,000 times, that I rise up each morning and before my feet hit the floor or the the carpet, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because of all the things that I've said, because of all the things that Christ has promised, rise up each day with that positive affirmation that Christ is in you of a truth. This is not some mental game. The Holy Spirit is in you. It's affirming what is, not what you hope to be. Christ will never leave you. You don't have to hope. It's there already. He's there already in the Spirit of God. You don't have to hope that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is. You don't have to hope that he's returning. He's coming back. It takes time for a wound to heal. Maybe you have a thing that you made you discouraged or disappointed or depressed. At different times in my life, I've had battles with gout. Anybody ever have gout out there? They call that the king's disease because they're eating such rich and wonderful food. In fact, I kill 80 ducks a day and I eat them all in the savory sauce. I have no idea why I get this every once in a while. I just have a high tannic acid retention. You know, bugs don't bite me. They're afraid to bite me. That acid would kill them. But nevertheless, I don't like to take medicines for this thing, and once in a while I've taken a pill for this, but I fight through it. I'm drinking cranberry juice and cherry juice and looking to Jesus Christ to heal me. But there's a point in this when I know that my joint is starting to feel like it is passing. It's not done totally, because I'm still, you know, hobbling around this or that. But I know that I'm on the upward swing. But there is a process for healing. Anybody ever cut themselves and it takes a week or two for that cut to heal up? Or you catch a cold, and even though that you know you're on the mend, it takes a while for that to come about? There's a process even in coming out of a state of depression or disappointment or despondency or discouragement. And you have to allow the Lord to work this out in you. I don't know how a person that doesn't have Jesus Christ only trusts to the process of the seven stages of grief maybe coming out of that. To me, that's like putting a Band-Aid on it. But trusting in Jesus Christ is having the healer in my body. He is my healer. He is the one that brings me out of all those disappointments. He is my encourager. I can trust in him in all ways. So a broken heart may take time to go through this process to heal, but trust in God. He will bring you through. You may be a different person than what you when you went in, but God still is going to bring you through to a greater place. I've often thought about Revelation 2:10 says, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." I've often thought that Satan has been attacking my life, it seems, head on. And so I just set myself and say, I am now prepared for whatever is coming because I'm trusting in Christ to bring me through. And maybe it's lasted 10 days. But I'm telling you, I come through stronger on the other side. There's nothing you're going through right now that by trusting in Christ, you won't come stronger through. You will come stronger through on the other side, no matter what you're facing. Trust in God. He'll bring you out of that. In his favor is life. I know Elizabeth Smith loves this. Weeping may endure for a night, sister, but joy cometh in the morning. Whew! Weeping may last for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. You know why? Because you have Christ rising up with you. That's why joy comes in the morning, because I can trust in Christ. I don't go to bed miserable, but I rise up with Jesus Christ, who will never leave nor forsake me. Weeping may last for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. This is my morning. I live on the sunny side of the mountain. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I may be going through a process at times, but I've turned the corner. I'm not looking at the pain. I'm looking at the one that delivers me from all that pain. I'm looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. Job saw the end of his misery in restoration and spiritual growth. Paul said, "Henceforth is laid up me a crown of righteousness." Jesus Christ saw that through his suffering and pain and rejection, he rose again, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for you, restored mankind from the corruption that we had brought upon ourselves. That is the God that we have. Tennessee Ernie Ford, remember him? Tennessee Ernie Ford? He said, "Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are dreary, the long nights weary, I know my Savior cares." Does Jesus care when my way is dark, for the nameless dread and fear, as the daylight fades into deep night shades? Does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong, when for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is it aught to him? Does he see? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are dreary, the long nights weary, I know my Savior cares. Lord God, we thank you that you do care, and that you are with us, Lord God, and that no matter how deep of a distress, no matter how great a discouragement, no how great a depression that Satan would try to bring upon us, we have our deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has paved the way and gone the distance and won the prize and has promised us life eternal in him. Lord, I pray you bless each and every one here, Lord God, with the joy of salvation, with the knowledge, Lord God, that greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, no depression, no despondency, no despair is so great that Christ would ever leave them nor forsake them, for he is with them now and to the ends of the world. And in that, Lord God, we give you glory, and we give you praise, and we give you honor. In Christ's name, amen.